our Bibles this morning, and let's turn over to Acts chapter 8. Brother, you got it going there? Okay, good deal. All right, so Acts chapter 8 is where we're going to be. We're going to continue our study on the Bible of people that were filled with the Holy Ghost and what we can see from them and what we can glean as far as the evidences of a person being filled with the Spirit. And so we're going to look at that this morning. But, you know, of course, it's Resurrection morning, if you will, Resurrection Day, the day that everybody celebrates Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday, and all the, you know, there's a lot of traditions and everything that go around with that. But, you know, I thought about something. We live in a world today where, you know, everybody's going to be celebrating a risen Savior, at least on paper anyway. But then we spend the rest of our time acting like he's dead. Isn't that the way people are? Folks just act like Jesus isn't there. Go about their business. Don't talk to him. Don't listen. So we need to be careful about that. We serve a risen Savior. We sang the song, "He lives within my heart." That means he's always with me. Amen. All right, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 9. I'm sorry, did I say 8? I should have said 9. Acts chapter 9. We're going to be looking at 9, 10, 11 today. And he said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, he, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink." Now that's something interesting about this fellow Saul. When he met the Lord, he was told to go to Damascus. It would be told him what he should do, and he went, and he just put everything else aside. He said, "Till I get this thing settled." Well, I wonder what our relationship with God would be like if we just got it settled, instead of just trying to live by chance, almost, seems like sometimes, don't it? "And there was a certain," verse 10, "there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight." That's an interesting name for a street, Straight Street. All right. "And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them that called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest?" But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying awake was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had all the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came and dwelt also to the came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed." And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon the tanner. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that we've read and that which we're about to read and study. Lord, I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing. Help us to see something that we need to see today. Father, if there's anything we need today, it's Spirit-filled Christians. And Lord, people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, we just pray that you'd help us to that end. And Lord, these things that we see here, especially of the fruits of the Spirit, and Lord, we just, of the fruit of the Spirit, I should say, Lord, that we would see that in our lives. And we'd be able to understand it and know it. So, Lord, we just thank you. Pray you'd bless each one. Thank you for each one that's here. And ask your blessing on each one in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, when we look at this, we're going to look also at chapters 10 and 11. I probably won't read the whole chapter, but we're going to get in there. But, you know, we've all read the story and all heard the story of the Apostle Paul being called Saul at this time. And when he first saw the Lord, he was a murderer. He gave his voice against people to be put to death for no other reason than being Christians. And he said about himself that he was the chief of sinners. He said he was a blasphemer and injurious. He said he wasted the church and persecuted the church of God. He said all of those things about himself. And we see that here, and he's been persecuting Christians in Jerusalem, and now he's decided, hey, it's not enough for Jerusalem. I'm going to go to the chief priest, and I'm going to get papers that give me the authority to go even to strange cities in Damascus and places like that. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to put them in prison. We're going to put them to death. We're going to stamp this thing out. And he was breathing out. It said there that he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. In other words, he was all in for mass murder. This is who he was. But God had a plan for him. And the Lord met him on the way of Damascus. And he heard him speak to him. And he was blinded. And he was told to go into the city and wait there. And he did. That would shock anybody to have such an event happen. But he was there for 3 days and he didn't eat or drink. And he was praying that whole time. He's wanting to find out. And during that time, he saw a vision of Ananias coming in and laying hands on him that he might receive his sight. And so God speaks to Ananias, and Ananias goes in to see the Apostle Paul, and he preaches the gospel to him, and he heals him. And Paul believes, and Paul gets baptized. But there's some interesting things here when we went on this. It said in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." So there was a twofold purpose, that Paul would not just be receive his sight, but that he would also be filled with the Holy Ghost. Meaning that he would be born again, and that he would be literally filled with the Holy Ghost and become that. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we have no mention of Paul being baptized before he received the Holy Ghost. We have no mention of any tongues or any other thing that's there. And, once again, when you start bringing these things up to people that have different ideas about the use of tongues and everything and the purpose of them and all the things that happen, they always, there's always this, the argument that, well, it didn't say he didn't speak with tongues. And how do you argue against that? You can't. Didn't say he did either. It's the same argument, isn't it? But there is the evidence, and once again, we're going to see the evidence yet again, the most important evidence of somebody being filled with the Holy Ghost in the life of Paul. Now, I will say this, in 1 Corinthians 14:8, he said, "I thank God that I speak with tongues more than ye all." He had the gift of tongues. All right, that's clear from the Scripture. But here at his conversion, at his actual being born again and all that, what we know about it, we see no evidence of that. And the gifts of the Spirit are manifest when people yield themselves to the Spirit. Just like the fruit of the Spirit is manifest as people yield themselves to the Spirit. And we get so caught up on the things of Acts that we don't worry about the things of today. But anyway, so we see what happened in 9:17, in chapter 9, verse 17, and if we look back at that, it says in verse 18, "Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples that which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them that called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." In other words, so what do we see out of the Apostle Paul at this point in his life? He said, Ananias said, I came so that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And what is the evidence that we see and that is emphasized in the Scripture about Paul being filled with the Holy Ghost? Has nothing to do with tongues, has nothing to do with any outward manifestation that we could see, other than he had boldness to preach the word. Starting back in Acts chapter 1, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. There was the power to be witnesses for Christ. The boldness that he had there. The ability. I mean, this is a man who knew the Scriptures anyway, but now he understood them from a true biblical perspective, and the Spirit of God is opening his eyes to the Word of God and the Scriptures that he knew all his life. He's now seeing them, and he's seeing Jesus in them like he should. And now he's preaching the gospel. So when we look at the Apostle Paul, what is the evidence of him being filled with the Holy Ghost? He's out preaching the Word of God. He's being a witness for Christ. And that is the primary manifestation that every believer needs to have. And you know, we sit there and we are self-conscious and shy, and I mean, I go down the gamut of things. I don't really like public speaking. I've gotten to a point where I can do it now, in the sense of if I have to give a presentation or something at work or something like that, I can do it, but I hate it. But I can't tell you what's different when you get me behind a pulpit or you open a Bible, get me on the street with a Bible. It's a totally different thing. It's contrary to my nature. Sister Denise knows. She's been around me enough to know I'm not what you call the most outgoing and gregarious person in the world. But simple fact is, the work that God did, I don't know how to explain it except the work of the Spirit of God, that I just, when I get to the Bible, I can sit and talk about it all day long. And it's just an amazing thing. I love to preach. I love to preach and teach the Word of God. But we see that Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, when we get to Acts chapter 10, we're going to see something a little bit different. We're going to see tongues again, aren't we? Have you noticed that it goes through the Bible? Some places we see tongues, some places we don't, right? Some places people receive the Holy Ghost, or there's a manifestation or evidence of it after they've been baptized, as you go to Acts chapter 2 and so forth, or you see it in Acts chapter 8 where we were before with the laying on of hands. We see it with the Ethiopian eunuch, and we don't see anything happen but him going on his way rejoicing, right? And we see it here in different ways, and all of that has a purpose. It's not random. It's all according to the purpose of God. So we see that, and then we go and we see also that after Paul comes to Jerusalem, they're afraid of him. They say, "Oh man, this must be a trick. This must be a trap." Because they knew what kind of man he was when he was at Jerusalem. You can't blame them for being skeptical and afraid. But the point being is, so finally Barnabas brings them to the apostles, and they finally, once he's accepted there, and it says that in verse 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went out to slay him. All right, so he's been run out of Damascus. He gets run out of Damascus. They're trying to kill him there. Now they want to kill him in Jerusalem. But everywhere he's going, he's doing what? He's preaching the Word of God. He's preaching the Word of God. The manifestation of the Spirit is his boldness to be a witness for Christ. That power, the change in his life, certainly the way he behaves, is just as much as important. And that's a radical change of behavior. You know, we had a fella that came in here and took a gun and and put it, held us all at gunpoint, threatening to take our life and take us to jail and everything and have us put to death. And then he turned around and one day he came in and he asked our forgiveness and wanted us to pray for him and wanted us to receive him as a brother and Lord. That'd be a big, big change, wouldn't you? You'd see a big, big, big change in behavior. So his witness was there. He had power to be a witness both by word and by deed. And so this is what he was. And so then we get to Acts chapter 10. We see what the things that brought Peter to Joppa. And then in Acts chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, and a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa to call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on these things, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. By the way, we see Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. He's praying, he's seeking the Lord, and he gets a vision from God. He gets something that he's never seen, a revelation, if you will, and now he's pondering on it, he's thinking on it, he's meditating on it. It behooves us to do that. And then when the Spirit speaks to his heart, he can recognize it. And so then Peter went down to the men which were sent from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and hear words of thee. Now Cornelius is an interesting type of fella. Cornelius is kind of like the fella I met in Jamaica one time. Cornelius is a Roman, therefore he worships as the Romans do, but he also has respect to the Jewish religion, and he fears God. He's one of those fellas that he's just trying to cover all his bases. I met a fellow like that. We were in Jamaica when I was in the Navy. We were in Jamaica, and I was talking to some people there about the gospel. We were sharing the gospel with some people there, and all of a sudden, I've got a crowd of people around me, and I'm talking to all of them, and then I've got a bunch of people I was talking to. They were of a different group. They were Church of God Seventh Day, in other words, they came over and started disputing with us, and we talked to them, and then we had Rastafarians that we met with, and there were just several different sects of different people we were talking to, and then I had this one guy that came I was talking to after I was actually talking to a Rastafarian that was we were sharing the gospel with, and this guy come up and started talking to me and everything like that. And he was, you know, he was a Muslim. He was a he said he was a Muslim. He was a Rastafarian. He was a Christian. He was a Jew. He said he was all of these things. He was just that way. And I was like, you know, and I tried to talk to him and share the gospel with him, and wasn't so successful. But here, this is Cornelius. He's a devout man. He's a Roman. He's a centurion. But he has respect and good report of the nation of Jews. And he said, was warned by God, by an holy angel, to send for thee into his house and hear words of thee. And he called them in and lodged with them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, for I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly. Once again, when he preached the gospel, he didn't just say Christ died for our sins, he preached the resurrection too, didn't he? Amen. Remember that when you're sharing the gospel. All right. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture and we see that, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So it's the exact same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. It's happening to the Gentiles in front of the Jews. And there's some interesting things that we could study here. All right, Cornelius is in Caesarea. But interesting, we already know from Acts chapter 8 that Stephen, remember, he preached in Samaria, and then he went out to the wilderness by Gaza. He met the Ethiopian eunuch, preached the gospel to him. Then when he was called away from there, he went up, he was found near Azotus, and he went preaching through all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So, and then later in the book of Acts, we're going to find out that Stephen, I mean, not Stephen, Philip, is still living in Caesarea at this time. So while Cornelius is there, Philip is already in Caesarea, preaching the gospel in Caesarea. But here's Peter now. God sends Peter to the Gentiles that are there. Because from this point on, they're only preaching to the Jews and the Samaritans. So they're not preaching to other believers. I mean, all the other people. They're not preaching to the Gentiles. They're preaching to the Jews. And Philip is there in Caesarea, but Cornelius never hears the gospel. So God sends Peter, the apostle. Remember, God sent the apostles down to Samaria to establish their authority to the Samaritans. Remember that? They didn't have a manifestation of the Spirit of God till the apostles came and laid their hands on them. But in this case, God not only has to show the truth to the Gentiles and establish the authority of the apostles to the Gentiles, He also has to establish to the Jews, the Jewish believers, that the gospel is for the Gentiles. So here's what happens. All right. There was no laying on hands, no baptism before they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It happened the moment they believed, didn't it? It happened the exact moment they believed. All right, so there was nothing there. And then they began to speak with tongues. But once again, this is again a fulfillment of tongues being a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. In this case, not people that didn't believe on Jesus, but to the Jewish disciples, tongues was assigned to them that the Gentiles were included in this gospel. They're learning something. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 21 through 22, it tells us, if you want to go over there, we'll take a quick look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21, it says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Who is the this people that God is talking about? Who is the this people that verse, which is quoted out of Isaiah, who is it speaking to? It's speaking to Israel, speaking to the Jewish nation. And in this case, the tongues are there as a manifestation of being filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Jewish believers needed a sign to believe that the gospel was meant for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And that is the whole purpose of that, and to why that did. That's why we go through the book of Acts and we find mentions of tongues in one place and mentions of tongues, no mention in another. It's kind of all over the map because but notice what they did. They didn't just speak with tongues, but they magnified God. It was just like with the disciples did at Pentecost. They were heard speaking, quote, "in our tongues, the wonderful works of God." They were preaching the gospel. They were glorifying God. So there is a manifestation. The tongues was just a vehicle, but the tongues were a sign to the Jews because they heard them speaking in other tongues. They weren't just speaking in Greek. They weren't just speaking in Hebrew. They were speaking in multiple tongues, just like it was at the day of Pentecost. The exact same thing. And if you go to, and this, chapter 11 bears this out. It says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And as Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the manner from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been by a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw a four-footed beast of the earth, and wild beast, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from, Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with him, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood up and stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house should be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Same thing. Exact same thing as was happening at Pentecost, right? And then he said, then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said that John indeed baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now there you go. Notice, they had to be convinced that the gospel was for the Gentiles. And the way God did it was by the manifestation of speaking in tongues, by Cornelius. They didn't lay hands on them. They didn't baptize them until after it happened. It was a complete work of God. God said, I need to show these people what my will and plan is. And that's how he did it. But as and we look at chapter 11 and they read it and they find out about it, and the first thing they do when Peter comes and they come to Jerusalem, they say, whoa, you went into Gentiles, you went in uncircumcised Nate with them. And Peter had to rehearse all that, and he told them, and then finally they came to the conclusion, then hath God granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. Oh, wow, God's going to save Gentiles too. Jesus died for the Gentiles too. How about that? Sometimes we might need to be reminded that Jesus died for everyone. But anyway, if you go on and you read, he said in verse 19 of verse 11, he said, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. They had been preaching only to the Jews. And some of them, which were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the elders of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God and was glad, exhorted them all with the purpose that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And in these days there came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, after what's happened, we see Barnabas, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's preaching the word. He's exhorting them. He's teaching them, trying to exhort them to cleave to the Lord there at Antioch. Then he leaves. He goes and finds Paul, who's still being called Saul at that point. He finds him. He brings him to Antioch to help teach. You know, he's trying to be a blessing to a brother who's having a hard time, trying to get him into the ministry and make sure he stays where God wants him to be. And he's doing the work that God wants him to do, and bring him down there. And so we see the love and the boldness and all these things in Barnabas again. We see the fruit of the Spirit. And then all of a sudden they're there in Antioch. People start calling them Christians there. And then there come prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So we see Agabus as a prophet. We see the gift of prophecy being manifest among the believers. And then what do? Once they find out about this, and find out God is telling them that this is going to happen, what do? We got to help people. Now you see the fruit of the Spirit, don't you? You see love. So you see the gifts of the Spirit, and you see the fruit of the Spirit. But one thing about it, not everybody can manifest the fruit of the Spirit if we yield to the Spirit. Everybody has different gifts. Divide it to every man severally as he wills. The Spirit gives gifts according to his own will. Those are manifest. They're manifest because people are filled with the Spirit. They're not manifest in order to be filled with the Spirit. There's a difference. And we see their boldness to preach the Word of God, don't they? All right. The Jewish believers that were spread abroad, after Stephen was killed, they're going everywhere, and they were only preaching to the Jews, but they were preaching, weren't they? And it wasn't until God brought Peter to Cornelius and showed Peter and the brethren that were with him that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well. And then Peter got back and he had to defend himself against the rest of the Jewish believers, didn't he? And then they finally said, whoa, okay. If that's the way God did it, and I guess God's granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. So tongues in that case were assigned to who? Those that were not believing. They weren't believing what God wanted. Alright? The Jews had to be convinced that the gospel was first, not just to the Jew, it's to the Jew first, but it's also to the Greek, isn't it? Alright, so they had to be convinced that the gospel was for the Samaritans. They had to be convinced that the gospel was for the Jews, for the Gentiles. And now we're at a point where they're now beginning to preach to everybody. And that's what God wants. But when you look at people filled with the Holy Ghost in the Bible, you see the gifts of the Spirit, and yes, you see the fruit of the Spirit. But one thing you also see is power to be witnesses. You cannot separate that. And that's, I tell you what, that's the part that gets discarded, isn't it, when we have this discussion about being filled with the Holy Ghost. But at the very beginning, what did he say? ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Any questions? Any questions? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out and get ready for the morning preaching. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. Thank you that we can celebrate the resurrection of our Savior on this day. But Father, I just pray you'd help us to celebrate it every day, to realize that because He lives, we live also. And Christ is our life. And when He shall appear, we'll appear with Him in glory. And we thank you for that. Now, Lord, help us to be Spirit-filled, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to desire that above all things, to desire to walk with you the way we should, to desire to hear from heaven. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.